Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Another Fairbanks resident has died of COVID-19. The State Department of Health and Social Services announced yesterday that a Fairbanks man in his 20s recently died from the virus. He's the 37th Fairbanks North Star Borough resident and the 343rd Alaskan known to have died of COVID-19. The DHSS reported two new COVID hospitalizations with 53 virus-diagnosed patients and one other suspected case hospitalized statewide. Seven patients were on ventilators. The agency also announced 92 new Alaska resident COVID-19 cases statewide, including 30 in Anchorage and 13 each in Wasilla and Fairbanks. Other interior cases included 7 in North Pole, 2 elsewhere in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and 2 in Delta Junction. The statewide COVID vaccination rate has increased to nearly 48% of Alaskans 16 and older. The Fairbanks North Star Borough is at 40%. The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly held a public hearing on the FY22 budget last night. The Assembly delayed voting on the spending plan, which it will take up again at a meeting next Thursday. KUAC's Robin reports on some of the key topics commented on during last night's public hearing.
A big change this year is local control of the Carlson Center Arena. The borough had been spending $1.1 million to $1.5 million annually to management company ASM Global in a contract started in 2016. The University of Alaska Fairbanks used the ice rink at the Carlson for hockey games for decades. Chancellor Dan White testified at the meeting that the Carlson Center is one of the reasons some athletes choose to attend UAF.
As you know, much of our NCAA Division I hockey recruiting is done at the Carlson Center because it's one of the best Division I arenas in the country. It is attractive to athletes as they consider colleges.
Before the pandemic, UAF hockey was downsizing with plans to play at the Patty Center ice on campus. But an opening game is scheduled for this October in the Carlson Center.
We believe that the mayor, borough leadership, assembly has done the research to know the economic and social impact of taking over the day-to-day operations of the Carlson Center, and we believe it'll be successful.
If this year's budget is passed, the money contracted to the management company would be saved. But about $155,000 more would be added than last year's contract to the Parks and Recreation budget to hire management and recreation specialists as borough employees. That didn't sit well with Lance Roberts, who testified telephonically.
We know it costs more this year, but we also know it's just going to cost more in the following years as they add more personnel. Remember, government's the cause of most of our problems.
The proposed budget adds $400,000 to last year's amount for funding the school district at about $49 million. Kim Lee thought the money should be allocated to preschools instead.
I have real issue with giving the school district more money than minimum required. We need to put those resources towards something else, one of them being preschools. There's only 5 preschools in the Fairbanks North Star Borough District right now.
The Assembly will consider both the mayor's original budget of $173 million and its own substitute ordinance that saves about $8,000. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
An important test for a sophisticated missile defense radar system at Clear Air Force Station has been postponed, due in part due to delays caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The Government Accountability Office says the COVID-related delays will prevent the Missile Defense Agency from conducting its first operational flight test for the long-range discrimination radar until the fall of next year. That's about 9 months later than the agency estimated in 2019. Construction of the facility at Clear basically has been completed, but the test is an important milestone in the latter stages of the project. The radar is designed to provide much greater capability for detecting an enemy missile soon after launch and tracking it and the trajectory of its warhead amid decoys and other radar distracting objects. A GAO report issued last month says the radar is now scheduled to become fully operational in the spring of 2023, about 2 years from now. That's also about 9 months later than the 2019 estimate. A Missile Defense Agency spokesperson said in an email Thursday that despite the delays, the radar is still on schedule to meet an interim level of operational capability later this year. The GAO report says the Missile Defense Agency is now negotiating with project contractor Lockheed Martin on how much the delays will drive up the cost of the project, which is now estimated to cost $1.5 billion. In Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.
The preseason Copper River salmon forecast is on the weak side, but after last summer's dismal return, there's room for optimism. The Department of Fish and Game forecast is for a modest 1.35 million sockeye. State Upper River Management biologist Mark Somerville says that's well below the 10-year average, but better than last year's return.
In 2020, we had a really low sockeye run, one of the lowest since about 1978. Looking into 2021, and we don't know where we're going to come in exactly. There's a lot of variation these last several years, and we expect it to continue. So hopefully we'll come in at forecast.
The 2021 preseason forecast for the Copper River Chinook return is 37,000 fish, which is also well below the 10-year average, but better than last year's run. The first commercial salmon opening on the Copper River Delta is anticipated to be the week of May 17th. By regulation, the personal-use dipnet fishery at Chitna must have its first opening by June 15th. The group which organizes Fairbanks' most popular youth sport is branching out. The Fairbanks Youth Soccer Association is introducing a lacrosse program this summer. Association Executive Director Colt Chase says the idea arose out of a general board discussion about adding another sport that could be played on the complex of borough fields it maintains.
Lacrosse was always kind of like the first example that would come to mind when we talked about being able to offer more. And it's has a lot of interest, so we have found over the years just talking to people. We said, why not?
Chase says outreach and networking led to financial support from the 529 Education Savings Plan, equipment donations from U.S. Lacrosse, and finding experienced local people to coach. He says sign-up is currently open online for three Fairbanks Lacrosse or FLACS programs.
We have tri-FLACS clinics going on two Saturdays in July, just short little sessions for folks to just sign up. Come ready to run around and play. You don't really have to pay. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to bring anything, just a smile. For 2 weeks, kind of in between these clinics, there'll be some weekday camps for kids who want to kind of dive in and get a lot in 1 week. And then we have a fall season.
Chase emphasizes that the lacrosse program is scheduled so as not to interfere with or draw kids away from soccer and other local youth sports. Lacrosse is traditionally a pretty rough game, but Chase says the local variety will be a non-contact recreational version known as Flex 6.
Modify the game however you need to be able to introduce it. Smaller teams if you want, adjusting field size, adjusting field layout.
Chase says judging from the number of kids who have already signed up for this summer's introductory programs, lacrosse has the potential to grow in Fairbanks. I'm Dan Bross.